come that. Aveksha, seen. Cha, and. Odhuram, place of sacrifice. Pitra, by her father. Cha, and. Deve, to Lord Shiva. Kritahe lanam, contempt having been shown. Vibhau, to the Lord. Anadrata, not being received. Yajnasadasi, in the assembly of the sacrifice. Atishvare, asati. Jukopa became greatly angry. Lokan, the 14 worlds. Eva, as if. Bhakshati, burning. Rusha, with anger. Translation. Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw that there were no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. Next, she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus, she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. She can repeat, present in the arena of sacrifice. Sati saw that there were no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. Next, she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus, she became greatly angry. So much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By offering oblations in the fire while chanting the Vedic mantra, Swaha, one offers respect to all the demigods, great sages, and pittas, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. It is customary that Shiva is one of those who are offered respects. But Sati, while personally present in the arena, saw that the Brahmanas did not utter the mantra offering oblations to Lord Shiva. Nama Shivaya Swaha. She was not sorry for herself, for she was ready to come to her father's house without being invited. But she wanted to see whether or not her husband was being respected. To see her relatives, her sisters, and mother was not so important. Even when she was received by her mother and sisters, she did not care, for she was most concerned that her husband was being insulted in the sacrifice. When she marked the insult, she became greatly angry, and she looked at her father so angrily that Daksha appeared to burn in her vision. Arutrabhagam tam avikshachan varam patraja deve vitahelanam vivau anadvata yagya sadasyadishvari chukopalokan hiva bhokshati rusha. Okay. Om ganat mirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuram miritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So again, we come to the topic. One of my favorite topics, the topic of anger. Of course, it's interesting, you know, if you think about anger comes from a whole bunch of different places. It doesn't only come from this jayate vishak sangat, sangostesha pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krota pajayate. It doesn't only come from contemplating sense objects, becoming lusty, and then, you know, you become angry after that. According to Krishna Bhagavad Gita, that's one of the sources. Perhaps it's one of the main sources of anger in this world that we see. I mean, for example, you got Durvasa, Durvasa means someone with bad temperament. They used to give people nice names when they were in the Vedic system. You can tell what they were going to be or grow up to be when they were older. Like, you know, Dasarath means he would fight in 10 different directions at one time. Or Dasagriva means he has 10 heads. A little bit, you know, obviously, if you have a little baby, he's born, he has 10 heads, you call him, oh, 10-headed one. Imagine the mother, you know, giving birth and this 10-head kid comes out, you know. Pretty freaky. Anyway, so Durvas, he went to Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish, we all know the story, it's in the Bhagavatam, was getting ready to break the Ekadashi, and Durvas went to take his bath, and Maharaj Ambarish thought, I have to break the Ekadashi during the Purana, the proper time, proper Muhurta. And he thought, well, I can't eat before we get... This is such nice Vedic hospitality, isn't it? You're not supposed to eat before the guests eat. Anyway, that's life. So, and he thought, but I'm not supposed to eat, but I have to break. You know, so he had this dilemma. Dilemma means, you know, two things. Sometimes they say the horns of a dilemma, because an animal has two horns, and you've got one horn and the other horn. In other words, it's like approach, or avoidance, or avoidance, approach. I mean, it's you're just like stuck between the two things. So we thought, well, how do I do this? The sages advise them, you can break a fast by not breaking a fast, by drinking water, so we drank water. And when Durvasa heard this, he did what? He got angry. And his anger was so heavy that he pulled some hair out of his head. You know, he wasn't a brahmachari with no hair, but anyway, so he had some hair. He pulled some hair out of his head and threw it to the ground, created a demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Now, that anger is because, you know, he needed some appreciation. You know, Maharaj Ambarish should have just said, do you have a need for appreciation? And Durvas would have said, yeah, you're right. Anyway, they didn't know the techniques at that point. So anyway, so he had some need for appreciation, or as we say in common parlance, respect. You know, he wanted, you know, no one loves him. He wanted love, appreciation, everything. So anyway, so he got angry because he was frustrated. He didn't get what he wanted. And he tried to create havoc. So that's one point of anger, you know. So that anger doesn't bring you to Krishna consciousness. That anger separates you from Krishna, right? And then right after that, of course, you had the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord who got angry at Durvas. And he was chasing Durvas all over the place. So he wasn't angry because he was frustrated, you know, had a need for respect. I mean, everybody respects Sudarshan, you better respect Sudarshan. Just like in the South Indian temple, they have a nice deity of Sudarshan Chakra. Anyone seen that? You've seen the deity. Beautiful deity of Sudarshan Chakra and Nrisingadev too. They had deity Nrisingadev and they said, this is Yoga Nrisingadev. And I looked at him and I said, no, it's not Yoga Nrisingadev. I said, Shant Nrisingadev, because Nrisingadev has his arms up. Yoga Nrisingadev is sitting like this, in a yoga position. So even they didn't know the name of the Nrisingadev that was there. I had to teach them. I felt good about it. Because they were, you know, real Pukka Brahmins, and I could tell them some things. So actually filled my need for being useful and productive and everything like that. So anyway, so Darshan Chakra got angry at Durvasa, and he was chasing him all over the place. And so what was that need from? That need was actually out of love of Krishna's devotees, or a sense of duty, or something like that. You know, that so his anger was completely different, and it connected him to Krishna. So in this world, there's anger that's spiritually appropriate. I mean, anger is always good because it's a sign of something, okay? But sometimes anger is spiritually appropriate, and sometimes anger actually takes one away. Like Krishna says, there's three gateways leading to hell in this world, isn't it? What are the three gateways? Anyone know? Lust, anger, and greed. Yeah, so three gateways. Anyway, gate number 15 at the airport, 16 or 17. So it's interesting that lust, anger, and greed can take one away from Krishna, but it also can connect one to Krishna. I was thinking about that. I mean, like lust, of course, Krishna says, I'm lust according to the regulated principles. One has Krishna conscious children. Or if one actually becomes enthusiastic, you know, lusty for Krishna, angry, you know, so let's talk about anger, or then let's get greed, and then I'll go more into anger. So greed, one becomes greedy to get more things for Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, you could take a picture of him taking the money and, you know, for Krishna. Just like we're doing this project right now at Govardhan, and we're just thinking money, money, money. Whenever I see anyone, I see dollar bills or credit cards or something like that. Because I'm thinking goal-oriented, you know what I'm saying? Not that for myself. If it was for myself, money, you know, I need a new Mercedes, I need new diamond rings. It's like, oh yeah, I was listening, I was hearing someone say that if one wants to get married, they should spend like 2 months' salary, 2 or 3 months' salary on the engagement ring. And I was thinking, what a waste of time, of money. You know, $2,000, $4,000, $6,000, $8,000. And something ring, you know, huh? Huh, this is Maya. Anyway, so, decorate the deity, Prabhu. So greed can also be used in Krishna service. So let's get back to the point of anger, because this class is about anger. So anger can connect one to Krishna. I mean, there's so many examples we find of that, like, not only anger because a devotee is getting offended or Krishna is getting offended, that's appropriate. Like Prabhupada would get angry when a Mayavadi or impersonalist would speak negatively about the absolute truth. You know, Krishna is ultimately, Krishna is an illusion if someone would say that. You know, Prabhupada would get very angry. Or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known as Nrisinga Guru. You know, if someone said everything's one, then he would go up to them and hold them by the, you know, the neck there and say, you know, so then why don't you just wear a cotton ball as a shirt instead of, you know, this thing, you rascal. So anyway, so there was definitely anger. At that point when the Supreme Lord, out of love, you know, that anger is out of love. Love for the Supreme Lord, love for the Lord's devotees, like Sudha said, Chakra. So the anger was actually connecting one to Krishna. Because it's important to understand why one's angry. I mean, a devotee should always be on the intelligence platform to analyze, like we're talking about introspective. When you have some feeling, you know, what is it connected to? Is it appropriate to express it in this way? Is that a good strategy, or is it not a good strategy? I mean, sometimes to express anger is a very good strategy, like Sudarshan Chakra chasing after the Durvasa Muni, or Arjuna getting angry at the enemy in the battle of Kurukshetra. I mean, that was completely appropriate. He was carrying out the Lord's mission. I mean, a Kshatriya has to exhibit some anger as a strategy. I mean, if he just like, you know, if his mission is to actually establish religious principles, get rid of, you know, the demons for Krishna, and he just goes like that, you know, if he just tries, let's say Arjuna would say, well, Duryodhana, he's acting like this because he has a need for love. It wouldn't have been so appropriate to carrying out the Lord's mission, right? I mean, obviously, he had to get angry to fight. Or sometimes even, in this world, people are angry because of sporting activities, right? I'm not saying it's appropriate or inappropriate, but, you know, it's play. So, you know, anger manifests in many different ways. So It's really interesting. There's so many stories of anger in the Vedic literatures. You know, and anger can sometimes manifest as a yogamaya thing, that the devotee is an illusion, like Parikshit Maharaj got angry at Samika Rishi because he didn't respect him properly. When Samika Rishi was in meditating on Krishna, Parikshit walked into his house, you know the story, and he wasn't respected, so Parikshit Maharaj actually put a snake garland, a dead snake garland, on the guy's neck. So that anger was yogamaya, which is really interesting. So, anyway, or also anger can be out of compassion, like Narada Muni getting angry at Mani Griba Nalakuvara, right? That was out of compassion. He cursed them. There they were, parading around in their birthday suits in front of Narada Muni. You know, just like you have these rainbow festivals. I don't know if anyone's heard of a rainbow festival. Sometimes we used to go to the rainbow festivals and people just walking around completely stark, raving naked. You know, just disgusting. You know, so someone, you know, so a whole group of like people sit in front of me completely naked and say, tell me about Krishna Maharaj. I'm getting ready to say, you know, can you put on some clothes first? You know, you think you're attractive, but your body's ugly. I didn't say that. That wouldn't have been a good strategy. Anyway, so Narada Muni, came across Managriba and Nalakuvara. They were bathing in the Ganges, intoxicated, and they were with two society girls. And they didn't cover themselves. And so he got angry at them, and he cursed them, you know, become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and stand there until Krishna rescues you. So that anger was done out of compassion, you know, to actually save these poor souls. Because sometimes, you know, there needs to be some anger. You know, this is an extreme circumstance. So anger is sometimes a strategy. Exhibition of anger is a strategy. But none of these great devotees, you know, pure devotees like Narada Muni, are exhibiting uncontrolled anger. Their anger is actually focused, and they're taking it as a strategy to achieve a particular objective. Okay. So anyway, so getting to another point, is we have so many different manifestations or causes of manifestations of anger in this material world. And even in this material world, anger actually is sort of interesting. Just like you have these video games, right? You don't have video games. And you know, generally, there's a, at least for the men, there's a shoot 'em up, beat 'em up, you know, like avoid the demons, you know, you get certain points for hitting a certain amount of demons. So the people enjoy this sort of thing, isn't it? It's interesting. It's really interesting how, I mean, I'm not saying we should do these things, but there's a certain, what we say, taste or rasa in these things. One gets a taste of it. It's just like even when I was young, I was playing volleyball. I was very young. I was playing volleyball, and then we would get angry at the opposite team. You know, it's like a rasa. You know, I'd play with some younger people because the older people weren't ready to play with me. So it's too good for them. But anyway, so I was playing with some younger people, and I would just call them names, even though they were disciples. They're going, you rascal, you can't play. You know, you're in Maya. Like that. So you can imagine that, you know, the guru calling you all sorts of names. In Fiji, we used to do that when we were opening up the new temple every day, you know, after the hard work of building the temple and, you know, the construction and everything like that. All the devotees would get together and play a game of volleyball before prasadam. It was like our ritual every day. And then, you know, there was anger there. But it was actually, you know, enjoyable. Like that. So in other words, anger can be sort of like a spice, too, that makes things, certain things enjoy, at least for the men, you know. The women, they play video games, like putting on your wedding dress and getting married. You know, they go into the virtual worlds, buying earrings and putting them on your body. You know, I can't relate to that one. But anyway, No, but anyway, I mean, even for the ladies, there's enjoyable anger even in this world, you understand? So it's a spice that spices up relationships. Isn't it? I mean, just think about it. I mean, it's a spice. I'm not saying we should use that spice. But I'm just saying that that's another purpose of anger in this world. It spices up, makes things interesting. I mean, just like other things, you know, like suspense and other things like that. So then I was thinking about spices, not for cooking. And I was thinking about the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, you have five basic relationships, right? You have the relationship of Shanta Ras, where it's some distance between you and God, and you're just worshiping him. Oh, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, you're the controller, you ride on Garuda. You have Lakshmi, Lakshmipati, like that. And that's like the mood in the South Indian temple, like that. That's Shantaras. And then you want to get closer, Dasharas. Dasha means servant. You know, I'm your servant, Krishna. Order me, I'll fan you, you know, I'll put your shoes on. You know, this is a servant, but there's still some distance. And then after that, you have the friendship, Ras. Mm. Then friendship means, you know, hey, Krishna, let's come out and play. You know, why is Krishna sleeping so late? I better wake him up. You know, it's time for him to come out and play. And then after that, you have the parental relationship. Mm. And which it actually becomes closer than you. And, oh, Krishna is my little son, or like that. You know, Krishna is my son, or I got to take care of Krishna, like that. And then finally you have the conjugal ras. And the conjugal ras, you know, Krishna is my lover, or I'm assisting someone who is loving Krishna. You know, so anyway, so you have these five different rasas. So that's, then in addition to that, you have to have some spices that go on these rasas. You understand? And then there's seven types of spices. The flavor, even the problem, rasa means like taste, actually. It doesn't mean relationship. It means taste. So you got to have some flavor, you know, just like you have like a turmeric and asafoetida and rosemary and cardamom. Just like this morning, I was brushing my teeth and someone put anise seed in my toothpaste. Anyway, so, isn't that the anise oil in my toothpaste? So I was brushing and I said, this tastes like anise. And I look at the toothpaste, anise. So that's a flavor. So these seven rasas are very interesting. They flavor, this is indirect, they're called indirect. In the sense that the indirect means they're not your eternal rasa, your sthayi bhava, which is another name for that. We're talking about bhavas or emotions. Sthayi means you're fixed. Sthayi means fixed, bhava, or fixed emotion. And so they flavor the fixed emotion. Just like a fixed emotion. And let's take an example. Let's say you have eggplant. That's fixed. You know, eggplant. Eggplant is an eggplant. And so you put spices on the eggplant, right? I mean, who wants to eat eggplant without spices except for me? But anyway, you know, we're following the footsteps of Viswamitra Muni, who we mentioned last night, who was a raw food vegan. So anyway, so yeah, you put spices on it, isn't it? What spices do you put on your cook, Logan Dupree? What spices do you put on eggplant? Turmeric? Ginger? Yeah, so it actually makes it tastier, isn't it? A little salt, of course. And then, so in the same way you have these indirect rasas, then you got the, like, humor. You know, so you spice up, you know, you spice up your conjugal ras or your, the other, you know, friendship or the other rasas with some humor. And you spice it up with some humor means, you know, laughing ecstasy. And you spice it up with chivalry. You know, chivalry means like Sir Walter Raleigh put down his cape. Like that. You spice it up with astonishment. Look what Krishna has done. or ghastliness. You know, Krishna's dancing on the head of the Kaliya serpent, and he's going to die. Or that's dread also. You know, fear. When you spice it up with fear, oh no, Krishna's going to die. And anyway, so you have all these spices. But the one we wanted to talk about today, or spice it up with compassion, you know, like Mother Yashoda, she's feeling very compassionate for you. The gopis even, like they're saying Krishna's dancing out there. Or not dancing, but Krishna's out in the pasture ground all day long in with his bare feet. You know, Krishna refused to put shoes on. What a rascal. You know, actually he was asked by his mother and father, you put some shoes on when you're pasturing the cows. And Krishna said, why should I put shoes on? The cows aren't wearing shoes. So I should be better than the cows? Is that your philosophy? You understand? So, you know, there's Krishna out all day long, you know. And in Vrindavan, there's thorns and all sorts of things that prick your feet out. Anyone's walked barefoot in Vrindavan before? There's thorns. Some of them are this big. I mean, I go out with sandals. You know, I'm not even Krishna conscious enough to go barefooted. But I wear sandals, and even the thorns go through the sandals. You know, every day when I'm finished walking around Govardhan, if I have sandals on, I have to get a pliers to pull the maha thorns out. Did you ever see that? Big thorns, isn't it? Super. Maha thorns. So they're all worried about Krishna. You know, they're in complete anxiety about Krishna out there, this emotion. Anyway, so let's talk about anger, because I thought I wanted to talk about that. That's why I brought over Nectar of Devotion. So it's interesting with anger, because we're talking about this. So anger in the spiritual world is the cause of the anger in this material world. The anger in this material world is a perverted reflection of the anger in the spiritual world. And that anger in the spiritual world always has Krishna as its object. You understand? In other words, people are getting angry at Krishna, which is really nice. Now, in the material world, when people get angry with God, they're in trouble. You know, God, you know, what it. Anyway, so, you know, they get angry. Why did God do this? Oh, I hate God. Like that, you know, if there was actually a God, why doesn't he make it a nicer place for me, you know? So anyway, but in the spiritual world, God is always the object of the anger. And I'd like to read some things for the Nectar Devotion, because it's such a nice mood that they have in the spiritual world, how God is the object of anger. Object means he's the one you get angry with, to put it in common language. So we'll just tell a few stories. I'm not going to read, I'm just going to summarize. One time, this is from the Vidagda Madhava, there's Lalita, who is the associate of Srimati Radharani, she was so angry with Krishna. Because Krishna, here's this point, that Krishna had cheated Radharani. How did he cheat her? In so many ways he cheats her. Sometimes he doesn't show up when he's supposed to show up at a rendezvous place. That makes the person really angry, isn't it? Like if you make an appointment with someone, like a man or a woman, you say, let's rendezvous here when no one's not watching. So you wait and you wait and you wait, and they don't come. You know, that's romantic love. They don't come. You know, of course there's so many stories about that. Even in the West, someone sits down, meet me at the coffee shop at Starbucks or something like that, and they never come. It's called being stood up. You make a date. You heard about that before? No. In English, it's called being stood up. He stood me up. So Krishna does things and makes Radharani real. He wants to make Radharani angry. So sometimes he doesn't show up. Or sometimes on his way, you know, he goes out with Chandravali instead. You know, where's Krishna? Well, he's out with your rival tonight. You know, that's really aggravating. So here's Lalita, and she says, and he said, I'm polluted with anger right now because I'm angry with Krishna. He's still smiling over cheating you. You know, Krishna would cheat them, cheat the gopis, and he'd be smiling about it. Look, I pulled a fast one. And she's angry with him. And she says, I don't know how you could repose all your loving propensities upon this lusty young boy who's just a cowherd. You know, so she's like super angry at Krishna. I mean, this is really intense anger. And then, anyway, so that's one instance. Nectar Devotion has all these. The devotee should read the Nectar Devotion as some of these instances of indirect. And then, of course, the person who gets angry at Krishna the most is the two people, Jatila and Kutila. And then also there's Jarati, who gets very angry. And here's Jarati speaking, because she's really angry. She's the mother-in-law of... mother-in-law. That's actually should be Jatila. It says Jarati. Jarati is someone different. There's a misspelling here. So this is Jatila, actually, who is the mother-in-law of Radharani. She's getting angry at Krishna because Krishna, somehow or other, when he woke up in the morning, he put on Radharani's dress instead of his dress. You know, in other words, he has a blue covering instead of his normal yellow dhoti. And he had noticed, you know, because when you wake up in the morning, you're a little groggy, especially after being up all night. So she's getting angry with him. She said, oh, you thief of young girls' properties. I can distinctly see the covering garment of my daughter-in-law in your person. And then she cried very loudly in anger. And she informed everybody that the son of King Nanda was setting fire to the household life of her daughter-in-law. So anyway, there's so many stories here. Let's see. But also, Srila Prabhupada explains when the demons get angry with Krishna, we don't have time to tell any more stories. But when the demons get angry with Krishna, that's not actually considered a spiritual rasa. When Sishupal, for example, that's not like the same thing as the gopis getting angry with Krishna. Anyway, so in other words, anger is not such a simple thing that it's only coming from frustration. Anger actually, just to summarize what I was saying, anger comes from a whole variety of different things. Sometimes it's appropriate for spiritual advancement, sometimes it's not appropriate, sometimes it's out of compassion in this world. And then the original source of all that anger is the spice of the indirect rasa anger in the spiritual world. So that's just a summary, okay? So any questions? We got about 1 second left for class. See, I was right. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.